It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table in our segment two. We always love to do our Bible study, and we are blessed to have our teacher, Connie Stample, with us once again. Today is lesson number 46, and Connie, we're back up to the Passover now, aren't we, in this study?
We are. So we're going to hear Mark's brief account of the Passover, but each word is very important, and so we're going to be studying and learning about that final meal Jesus had with his disciples and how important it is actually for us too. So we are in Mark chapter 14, and we are going to be studying verses 12 through 25. I will read the first section here. Jesus says, Mark writes for us here, "And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they had sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, 'Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, "The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came out with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it was written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And then when they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Going back to the beginning of our passage here, we find in verse 12 that it's the day of preparation for the Passover, and his disciples asked him how were they going to prepare and do this meal. And so then we find out that Jesus sent two of his disciples and gave them very specific instructions. And as best we can tell, we think it might be Peter and John from the other Gospels, just because of their familiarity of the preparations. And we find that Jesus has this planned out and things are well taken care of, because he tells them to go into the city and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Well, what's interesting about that is the carrying jars of water was actually women's work. And so for a man, even a servant, to be doing that was highly unusual. And so it seems like the man actually was almost waiting for them, and it was very easy for them to identify who they were to follow. And then Jesus said, "Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where's my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?'" And so we know that the master of the house, perhaps through a pre-arrangement with Jesus, has prepared a room for them and is ready for them to come and eat at his house. Bible scholars think that this might actually be the house of Mark, the writer of the gospel, because Mark was a young man at this time, and perhaps it was his father that had this house in this room. And so Mark might have been quite aware of what was going on with the Passover and the events going on. We do know that in Acts that both Mark and his mother are known to be believers. We don't hear anything about his father. And then we find in verse 15, Jesus says, "This man will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he told them, and there they prepared the Passover. And so they needed to go and select a lamb. They needed to have the lamb sacrificed. And then they needed to prepare the food for the Passover and set out the wine and the cups and all. Verse 17 says, "And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.'" And we know, as so many things in Jesus' life, this was foretold in Scripture. Because in Psalms, it tells us that my close friend betrayed me. And hospitality then, as it was now, if you shared a meal with someone, that meant you were your friend. You're sharing an intimate fellowship with them. And to to eat with someone and then to betray them or to harm them is just such a act of treachery, really, because that's not how people acted in that whole, in just the idea of what hospitality and true friendship would be. And so Jesus here is saying, one of you who is eating with me is going to betray me. And in verse 19, it says, and they began to be sorrowful and say to him one after another, is it I? And so we get the sense that the disciples didn't trust themselves, and they knew Jesus and his words were true. And so when he says one of them is going to betray him, probably all of the ones who weren't going to betray him were questioning him. And then, of course, Judas, who knew he'd already betrayed him, knew exactly what Jesus was doing. And then in 20, Jesus said to them, it is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. And then in 21, he talks about the way he is going, and he's going to the cross, and that's to save us from our sins. But then he also talks about Judas. Verse 21, he says, for the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. And so Jesus is just saying that it is not good for Judas. He will suffer the judgment of God for his actions. And this is probably the time during the meal when Judas left to finally betray him. And we also know from John's gospel that at that time, Satan entered into Judas to do this final act of treachery and betrayal. Then going on, we have the institution of what we call the Lord's Supper. Verse 22 says, and as they were eating, he took bread, that unleavened bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. And yes, Jesus said the words, this is my body, but he is there in body with them. And so the really, I think the sense is that this represents my body. And when Jesus' body is broken on the cross, that's how our redemption is secured. And so this meal of eating and remembering and eating the bread is to remind us of what Jesus has done for us by his death. And then verse 23 says, and he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many. And here we find from the other scriptures, we know that this blood is, it's called the blood of the new covenant. And God had predicted this hundreds of years before through the prophet Jeremiah, how he was going to make a new covenant. The old covenant with Israel, with the Mosaic law and the God's law that the people were to follow, they weren't able to do it. They failed. They sinned. They rejected God. They were actually taken off into exile because of their disobedience and their rejection of God. But God says, no, there's going to be a new covenant, and that new covenant is going to be based on the blood of my Son. And it's not going to be based on anything you can do, because you can't. It's going to be based on what he does. And so what a wonderful thing. Jesus here is saying that my blood is going to be poured out as that new covenant, which is going to bring in a new way of relating to God and having your sins taken care of. And then he also says, which is poured out for the many. And that makes us think back to that key verse in Mark, where Jesus said in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And even then, Jesus was talking and teaching his disciples about why he came. And it's starting to culminate right here. Jesus came to die for our sins. And we've seen throughout Mark's gospel that Jesus has incredible authority over nature and over disease and over sin and sickness and even death. But truly, as we go through the rest of Mark's gospel and we see Jesus' authority and his power and who he is shown more clearly at the cross than anywhere else. He came to die for us. And what can we do but just thank God and say, you are my Savior. So Mark's gospel here, talking to us about the Passover, this is really good, good news, because we need the blood of Jesus to purchase our redemption. His blood, God poured out his judgment on him so that we would not have to suffer the condemnation we deserve for our sins. And those of us who believe in Jesus, every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's a celebration of his death and burial and resurrection and what he has done for us by his blood of taking God's judgment against our sin. So again, his body represents his once for all sacrifice. His blood represents that shed blood of atonement. And it makes us think of 1 Peter 1:18-19. Peter wrote and said, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish." And so that's what we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. That's why Jesus came. That's why, even, you know, as we go through the rest of Mark and we see the terrible things that happened to Jesus, it's good for us because he had to die for our sin. May we truly look to him as the Lamb of God, and may we rest in what he's done for us.
Amen. And Connie, thank you so much for that wonderful lesson. Nancy and I will be back in a moment to talk more about this, but you can find those notes and study guides, individual podcasts of all of Connie's lessons in the Gospel of Mark right at naomistable.com. We will be right back.